Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hey, Patrick Hines.
This is my favorite thing that we get to do. We are dropping the first episode of a really wild, really crazy, actually one of my favorite Patreon series that we've covered in recent memory.
It's the Ashley Madison thing from Netflix.
So it's the Ashley Madison thing, official title.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
What is it? What is the real title?
I can't even remember.
All right, the Ashley Madison thing that we did.
But the tagline for Ashley Madison, the website, which still exists, by the way, is Life is Short, Have an Affair. Mm-hmm. If you don't think this is the messiest, most insane sort of like situation ever covered by a documentary, you would be incorrect.
Yeah, it is a wild ride, super highly requested.
Yeah.
We did three absolutely manic episodes.
We hated everybody in this doc. There's one gay guy that I kind of like.
Oh, with the glasses?
Yeah. He works for Ashley Madison, so he's on the wrong side of history. But
a little bit of an apologist.
Got
an apologist. You know, he's got cute
gay
glasses, I guess.
He probably like sings Pink Pony Club in the shower.
Oh, God.
All three episodes are available right now and ad-free over on the Patreon. It's where you can also get over like 400 full ad-free bonus episodes of like every other series ever
Everything,
made.
Yeah.
Like all the Jinx stuff, all of the Natalia Gray stuff.
Yeah, Love Has Won, The Cult of Mother God.
So much cult stuff on the page.
A lot.
So much. So enjoy this episode. We'll say a quick goodbye on the way out. But also please gird your loins. Sometimes we forget to ask.
Oh my God.
Just gird them.
Please just gird them.
Just gird
whatever that means to you.
Gird them.
Gird them up.
Gird them up. I don't know, girl. I feel like my feelings on this are very complicated.
Yeah, I mean, and we're just getting started.
I know.
I mean,
you were telling me there's a lot to learn.
There are bombshells along the way, but we gotta just dive in.
All right, all right. Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Hey, fam, if you are listening to this on the day that it comes out, tonight is our next drag bingo.
Ooh.
With the amazing Schwa.
Oh, I gotta go get ready.
Get ready, girl. You already look great. You look perfect.
You know who always looks great? Schwa.
You know, Schwa opens it with a drag number. It's not just bingo. She sings live. It's like the games are so fun. Steve, I promise you, has spent all the last 2 days running around like a crazy person putting together these amazing prize packages.
He loves them.
It's not just like a calendar. It's like a whole
theme.
Yeah. Really, really fun. So check your email. All you gotta do is register and then you'll get the link. It's really fun.
It's really fun.
Easy. And we'll see you tonight.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
All right, girl. What are we talking about today?
Okay, we're doing Ashley Madison, Sex, Lies, and Scandal. It's on Netflix. The first episode is called Life is Short, Have an Affair, which is the tagline for their website, or at least used to be.
I love being a dad. I love my wife. It was a beautiful marriage, but it's also just like monotonous. I remember seeing an advertisement. Life is short, have an affair. I was like, that sounds intriguing.
Ashley Madison was ahead of its time.
The vision was to be the largest and only website for married people who wanted to have an affair. When I would go to trade shows, I would say, you know, who's your biggest competitor? And I'd say, the Bible.
I thought it was a great idea. Go on a site and you're able to tell this stranger your deepest, darkest desires.
I signed up with all my real information, which obviously was a stupid decision.
At that time, cybersecurity was just starting to enter the public consciousness.
Security came up quite frequently. We talked about it. We were worried about it.
Ashley Madison was a cash cow. And then all of a sudden, we got hacked. It was chaos.
This hack is one of the largest data breaches in the world.
If that information got out, this would ruin a lot of people's lives.
Everyone was looking for dirt, looking for names that they recognized.
And then name after name started coming out.
You had celebrities being disgraced.
It was an absolute witch hunt.
I had no idea what was coming.
It was all over the media. Like, what is going on? Just such a selfish decision. I felt so humiliated.
I wanted to get into bed, pull the sheets over my head, and put on the Golden Girls.
This could be the biggest hack of all time.
Everyone was wondering who was behind it.
The theories were all over the place. Maybe it was a competitor.
Cheating husband.
A disgruntled employee. It's a giant whodunit.
This went way, way too far.
We all have a list that we're on that is our secret.
Accusing people, trying to publicly shame them.
Started to realize a lot more is going to come out.
I do not agree with lying to your spouse at all. The worst thing that's happening here are people lying to their spouses. That is horrendous. Yeah. That said, life is short, have an affair is like brilliant because lots of people take him up on it.
Yeah, my whole thing has always been forever, like, do what you want to do. Don't hurt anyone. Yeah. Everyone is a consensual, conscious human being, adult. But yeah, like, just don't lie about it.
I'll say it here. It just feels like these people have never heard of the concept of an open marriage. And we'll get more into that as
or
we go.
Or even like open communication.
Just communication.
People are admitting that they just hate talking to their spouse.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yes.
I got to tell you, the fling isn't going to fix that.
No.
You know what I mean?
Although, I don't necessarily agree with that. It's the lying. The lying is the worst part.
But if you hate what you're coming home to, it's not going to, like, you just have to leave your situation if you're that miserable,
all
right?
Well, I don't think it's that simple.
Okay,
we'll get into it when we get there. I have my first note is, oh my God, right at the top, we meet some idiot. I'm going to change my opinion about this guy at a particular moment.
Well, this series knows exactly what it's doing.
Yeah,
this is how you start a series about a cheating website.
100, yes.
I'm not wearing these glasses, by the way. I don't want to come off as some douche with sunglasses on inside. I have other glasses. I know you'll like these. You know, you guys decide. I'm sure I'll look very good and I'm not going to regret any of this. They go with the shirt. They have pink lenses. Granny glasses a little bit. Yeah, I think they make my face look thinner because they're so big. We're going for the thin.
I'm eventually going to find him charming.
Yes.
I did not like him in the beginning.
Well, his name is Evan.
Evan,
he worked
yes.
for Ashley Madison for over 10 years.
Yes.
So in case you don't know anything about Ashley Madison, it's a website for married people who want to have an affair.
Yeah.
And the major thing about it is that it offered you the secrecy. It offered you privacy. And then it got hacked.
Yes.
So that's like the major scandal here.
Yeah. I knew about the hack, but I didn't really consider what was really at stake with that until I got into this episode.
Yeah.
And Evan says something really interesting. He says his favorite part was that people just thought that the website was so outrageous, the idea. And it is. And it is outrageous. And he says, I would go to trade shows and people would ask me, what's your biggest competitor? And he'd say, the Bible.
Well, and again, what a great segue into Sam.
Yes.
Speaking of the Bible, Sam grew up in Texas. His father left when Sam was about 13 years old. He loves the movie Big Fish.
But one of the movies that came out when I was younger was Big Fish. Edward Bloom, played amazingly by Ewan McGregor. And one of the best scenes in that movie is like the big scenes where he confesses his dying love to this girl. He turns around and he looks up to the window and he says,
Sandra Templeton,
I love you and I will marry you. And that was one of the most influential movies for me. The falling in love aspect, I was just so drawn to.
He's like our friend Romeo Montague. He loves the idea of love.
Do not bring Big Fish into this. Big Fish
you love
is
Big Fish.
It's perfect.
He's doing impression. He's like masterfully played by Ewan McGregor.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those beautiful... I've seen Big Fish 7,000 times. It's just really about the purest form of like wanting to fall in love.
Yeah. And Sam says like, I was just so drawn to the falling in love aspect.
Yes.
Again, masterfully played by Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
He's a big fan. Like, honestly.
I love Ewan McGregor.
Like, I do too.
But Sam, our Romeo Montague, who just like loves love, meets Nia. And he says, when I saw Nia, that was it. I was living my dream. It was like my dream of falling in love becoming a reality.
Then why are we here, Sam?
And why are you and Nia being interviewed separately?
What'd you do, Sam?
I know.
What'd you do?
I know. So, I've got a pretty good guess. We're only 2 minutes in and I got a pretty good guess why we're here.
Let me tell you, I'm not going to say much, but if you think we're on a wild ride with Sam today, I have news for you. It's like an explosion that just won't stop going.
I have so many things to say about Sam.
What'd you do, Sam?
I know.
Why are we here?
Well, we meet Nia and like Nia describes their wedding day and she says,
well, I'm getting ready to walk down the aisle and I looked forward and I see Sam and he started really, really bawling. It was so amazing for me to see as his wife, like, oh my gosh, like he really loves me, you know, like it was like a dream. Just thought like, look at what we're promising each other. And if we really, really follow through, this is going to be forever, like really. There was no part of me that thought like things would turn out the way that they did.
She's saying, like, if we do this right, this will really be forever.
They really, I'm not saying this as a joke. I'm just saying, like, their marriage and relationship meant so much to them, but also, like, what it looked like meant a lot to them.
Yes.
And, like, they had these expectations of what it was supposed to look like and be. And right now, in that moment on their wedding day,
it's all happening.
It's all happening.
And they're young. She's 20, he's 24.
Yeah.
We see pictures of the wedding day. Sam is a wreck.
Yeah.
And I have thoughts on that
later. Yeah. But first, we meet Mark Morgenstern. Who's the former creative director. The site was actually founded by his brother.
Yeah.
So they learn that 30% of people on regular dating sites are married.
Yes.
So there was a market for Ashley Madison Madison. And like, I'm sorry, it's a great idea.
This was always going to happen. If this was always going to happen.
Looking at it by the numbers and a business perspective, it's a great idea.
Don't lie to your spouse.
Don't lie.
Don't lie to your
spouse. Just don't lie.
If you need to have sex with people outside of your marriage, talk to your spouse. And if your spouse is okay with it, then you have that conversation. And if they're not, you have two choices.
I agree. It's the lying.
It is black and white.
It's the lying.
Yes.
It's the lying that the is lying. Always going to be the bigger issue because that breeds deceit.
Yes.
It's a slippery slope and I don't like it.
Not to mention, like, how many of these documentaries do we see where the guy accidentally gets the other woman pregnant or somebody gets a disease?
Like, don't be mean and disrespectful to this person who loves you and you love also.
Right. And like, I'm not I just like talking to men, by the way. Like, women are on this site too.
Like,
you know?
So... All right. Ashley and Madison were the two most popular names for girls at the time. And someone's like, it seemed upper class. I mean, it is clear that this website was run by men and only men.
Yeah.
Woman in the room
not a
to
woman
have
in
a
sight.
Say in absolutely anything.
No.
And we get more of that.
It never stops. Idiot men.
At one point, they're just like, we didn't focus group anything because a bunch of genius men in a room thought something was a good idea. So we just went right to press with it.
Yeah.
We weren't focus grouping anything. Not a woman in sight.
Yeah.
Except Claire Bronwell, because she's here.
She's a tech reporter. She does not work for this company.
She does not. But she says, like,
Ashley Madison was ahead of its time. They were not just an online dating pioneer, but an internet pioneer. The company first launched right in the dot-com boom of the early 2000s. The idea of a dating website was still at that time, you know, a little out there, a little sort of weird, like, oh, you're going to sign up for a dating website. And then especially you add it's a dating website for adultery. It's, you know, it's certainly a bit of an out there idea.
Ashley Madison was a little bit of a pioneer.
Yeah.
It was ahead of its time.
I didn't realize how early it was. Like, Ashley Madison launched in the early 2000s, like in the dot-com boom.
Right.
I would have put it in, like, 2015. But no, it was very early.
Yeah. So the first tagline was when monogamy meets monotony.
Which my favorite part...
just a whole bunch of men came up with
this. A whole bunch of men. But also, people are so stupid, they don't know the word monotony. They think it says mahogany.
Well, I think it was when you read it, monogamy, monotony, all the words together, you're like, is this a wood store, a mahogany?
I know.
We're not doing it.
But it's the kind of thing where, like, it really does explain the product exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It describes it well, but, like, people are too dumb to understand.
Yeah, they're doing infomercials. Like, we're just learning about how they were trying to get this off the ground and promote it. Enter Noel Biederman.
Yes.
He shows up and allegedly changes the game. He started his career as a sports lawyer, and now he's CEO of Ashley Madison.
And people just say that he's fearless, he goes for the jugular. He instantly comes up with the tagline, life is short, have an affair.
Because he's kind of like, why are we going to hide it? If we're going to do it, let's do it. So let's be honest. Let's be direct. Let's say what it is.
Well, because also, I guess when you're saying, like, when monogamy becomes monotony, what? Nobody back in the early 2000s would ever think you're telling me to have an affair. This tagline, life is short, have an affair.
It's not hiding it.
It's exactly right.
It's telling you exactly what it is.
I don't know why I always think about this, but I went to college in Boston and there was a college there called Northeastern.
Yeah.
And Northeastern's famously, they do trimesters and their whole thing is about work experience. So one of the three semesters every
year. Instead of semester, they're trimesters.
They're trimesters. And one of the three semesters, you go and work in your field. And so their tagline was experience, period, the difference, period.
Okay,
genius,
I like that.
Genius, right? Like, it's perfect.
Ooh,
it's
that's so good. That's got Draper written
all
over
it. I just got chills. And
that's
I'm like,
great. That's a
there's
great
something
ad.
About a great tagline. Life is short, have an affair. Like, that's exactly what this is saying.
And also, if you hate it, you're paying attention to it and you can't stop talking about it.
Well,
no
honestly,
matter what, you know? Like,
it's
it gets
so
people
provocative.
Talking, you know? So Noel has known Evan Sunglasses since they were kids. They put the fun in dysfunctional. And I'm like, well, there's nothing fun about that.
Meanwhile, Evan, and I know this is fine. I'm not judging. I'm just noticing. Evan is fully day drinking during his interview and he's making himself an amaretto and Coke. Barf.
Oh.
And then he does that.
That's a very wintry drink
but
to
like
me.
Amaretto is so barfy. But he does that Patrick Hines thing where like he pours in the amount of alcohol, puts the bottle down, pours it just a little bit more. Just a hair.
Just to be safe.
Just to be. I don't want to have to get back up.
You know?
You know what I mean? We're doing an interview. It'd be rude.
You know what I mean?
You know?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Now, every series, every documentary, we get a story where I'm like, really? It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. There's always someone who kind of wants to be a little bit of, wear a little bit of a weird badge for something. And I'm like, if you're bragging about it, it's. So the point is, in 2007, Noel Biederman, who's now the CEO, hires Evan Sunglasses to be his marketing expert.
Yes.
And he's like, which is super weird because in 2007, I'd never once used a computer in my entire life.
That doesn't make any sense.
Evan.
I know.
What?
Well, he's saying that Noel is saying to me, like, you're the best sales guy I know, and you know how to use a computer, right? And Evan's like, of course I do, but even though he doesn't. Like, Evan is thinking they're going to pay me $100,000 plus 10%.
Which is true. He's not making that up. No. Like, that's what his salary
is. And he's going to get on-the-job computer training.
I'll learn by doing.
You know what I mean? 10% of the fucking company.
Over that, you jump into the deepest end of the pool and anything. You tread water to figure it
Evan
out.
Evan is
sure.
The richest person I've ever laid my eyes on.
Evan is?
He's got 10% of Ashley Madison.
Oh, I guess so.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of money.
Do you know that didn't even occur to me?
Yeah.
So here's Ashley Madison's mission statement.
You're coming to Ashley Madison because you don't want to blow up your marriage or your relationship.
The perfect affair is not just meeting someone, it's meeting someone and not getting discovered. And so when you have an affair in the workplace, which is our biggest competitor, it's bound to be uncovered.
The whole business is built on secrecy and discretion. A married guy hooks up with a married woman, neither one of them is going to squeal on the other one because they both have the same to lose.
Well, the point is that you can trust the person you're having this affair with because they don't want to blow up their life either.
Right.
You're not meeting someone in a bar and you're here with very specific intentions.
Yeah.
That's what the mission statement is.
It's also so funny because Noel is going to say something later that's kind of bullshit because he's an asshole. But like Noel is saying is that like a lot of the ads that they make are like women out to dinner with their awful, derpy husbands who aren't paying any attention to them.
Yeah.
And I bet that's really fucking true.
Yeah.
These amazing women who are like looking for something like they don't want to blow up their marriage or whatever, but like they are also looking for some fun and some like hot sex.
I gotta
tell
you, if you have a derpy husband who treats you terribly, blow up that fucking marriage.
You know what though? You can have a derpy husband who doesn't treat you terribly. You
That's
know
true.
What I mean? There's a lot
and
of reasons.
I know it's not easy to blow up a marriage. There are kids and other things involved. I know
but
that.
But also like, I think, how do I say this? As like a married person of 17 years, like I love my husband. We have a great, very exciting marriage. So this doesn't apply to me. But like, I think that you can also be fine in your marriage and not like thrilled, but also want like hot sex. You know what I mean? I'm just looking at it from the point of view of the user here. Like, I think
there
it's not.
There are a million and one reasons why someone would be on this website.
Yeah, it's just not as black and white as like, I hate my husband and I want to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, marriage is complicated and this whole thing is complicated. Just stop lying to your people. Just have open conversations.
So, like, Rob, for example, is a guy that we meet who is openly on the site and he's here with us telling his story.
When I first joined, there were not very many dating sites, and Ashley Madison was the best one for me. I didn't want to get divorced. I definitely wasn't looking for someone to replace my wife. One of the reasons Ashley Madison has worked so well for me, it allowed me to be very specific in what I was looking for. There are different things that you can choose about, like dirty talk or stuff like that. I can narrow it down by height, by weight, color of their skin. You know, my type, women that usually are younger than myself.
And he really loved that you can specify the type of woman you're looking for, height, weight, race, and ethnicity.
I know, I know.
Age, of course, which Rob's like, well, you know, most of the women I'm attracted to are younger than me. I'm like, Rob, we get it. You have to say it. I hear you, Rob. And here's the other thing. The site was not a subscription. It ran on credits.
Yes.
So you needed credits to message people. And when you ran out of credits, you had to buy more, which is a very, very easy and fast way to rack up a major bill.
Especially because, as Rob is going to explain to us, like when you're a man, you know, on this website for the first time and you're realizing there's 5,000 women around that are potentials, you're going to email all of them. It's a very smart business model to think that these horny men are not going to be able to control themselves.
Of course.
And they're just going to.
What's another credit? What's another credit?
And the credit card's over there. I'm not looking at it. And I'm just going to message these 8,000 women. Yeah. And hope that one of them responds.
So I Googled, and it would usually show up as like AM Ashley Madison and a bunch of numbers and letters on the credit card.
But just AM.
AM.
And then
like AMDB, blah, 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 blah. So it was just like, it looked like a bunch of gibberish on your credit card. And the company would actually change that pretty frequently to help you avoid getting caught.
Oh my God.
But so it's not the full name. It's AMBQ410.
Well, and we're going to meet somebody from customer service who's going to tell us exactly what would happen when the wife is perusing the credit card statement.
I mean, so back to Sam. Right. Sam was 24 when they got married. She was 20, which I think is so beyond young.
Yes.
But that's my personal
opinion. But they're also devout Christians. And I'm not surprised that they're young when they get married.
I'm not surprised either. So, you know, everything's amazing, right? They're having lots of kids and all their dreams are coming true. They are thrilled. Now, Sam is here.
I loved being a dad. I loved my children. Crazy about them. It was a beautiful life, but it's also just like this sudden inundation of responsibilities. So much responsibility I wasn't ready for.
You okay?
Paying the bills, keeping up with our finances, not getting debt, make sure our mortgage got paid on time, make sure the electric bill didn't go off like it did when I was a kid. I had imagined my life being exciting, and it wasn't exciting anymore. Life became monotonous.
This just made me crazy.
I wasn't ready for all of that.
I know.
They're like bills and shit.
Yet at the same time, you created this life.
You proposed.
Yes.
You sobbed at your wedding and made it all about you. You had the kids and now Sam is feeling trapped.
Exactly.
You can fuck all the way off. Because he's like, this wasn't exciting like the movies.
Right.
This wasn't my Big Fish moment. Yes. Fuck you, yes. Sam, yes. And keep fucking walking.
Yes.
These because were all of your choices. And I have to tell you, right now, when Sam is feeling trapped in his marriage, which is years ago when he's feeling this, Nia wasn't even as old as Sam was when he got married to her.
Yes.
And she's sad. She has two kids and him as a husband. She's a single mother of three.
Yes.
And
yes.
You are sitting here telling me that you feel trapped because of your fucking choices.
And especially because we're going to learn that Nia would double down when she would feel Sam pulling away. She's not working. So she's getting up early, making his breakfast, doing his laundry, being the, greeting him at the door when he gets home from work, trying to be the perfect wife and mother. And every married person, I would imagine, I have absolutely felt trapped in my life. What that really is it's just panic. It's just insecurity. It's nerves that you're not doing it right, that you're not doing enough. And then you have to look at your life and realize how lucky you are. And you have to have some self-awareness to say, this is just how I'm feeling today. I'm going to go for a run. Then I'm going to come home and look at my beautiful husband and my beautiful daughter and remember how fucking lucky I am.
Yeah. I mean, I think trapped is a huge word for this.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the word is, my God, there are definitely times I'm sitting home. I'm sitting home on a Friday night with my family who I love, but I'm getting texts from my friends who are at the bar and want me to come hang out. And that's just nowhere in my life is that ever going to be possible. And do I have moments of I really fucking wish I could do that right now?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Of course I do. But then, this moment with Sam just made me crazy because it's so obvious, Sam. Don't you understand that everybody who's married, especially so young and having a kid, they feel so lucky and so grateful. And sometimes they're like, oh God, I wish I was out with my friends.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
But I'm like, she was 20.
Yeah.
And again, two kids and you as a husband, she's a single mother of three as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. But you're also faced with the opportunity to either keep it to yourself and start making really bad, stupid decisions, or you can go to the person that you love. And you guys are so devoutly Christian. Maybe you go to your pastor and you sit down and say, I'm struggling.
No,
I'm
having that's never going to happen
but
in Sam's world.
Can we learn, can we take this documentary and can people who are in Sam's shoes apply it to their lives and
I'd love it, but there's no way that Sam...
Yeah.
There's just
so
no
he
way.
Was just destined to make bad choices.
Yeah. So Sam is an ER nurse.
Which I applaud him for.
I was like,
forever.
Oh. I was like, but he sucks.
Me
okay,
too.
Well, great.
I
had
the
Sam.
Exact same thing. We all know that nurses are the greatest people to ever... and lesbians.
He's an ER nurse. He's working the overnight shift.
I know.
Super hard job,
yeah.
Right? This is Sam's version of the story, okay?
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
getting a lot more of Sam in the next few episodes, but he's telling us right now.
And what I often did was read Yahoo News online. That was a big thing during that time. And I just remember seeing an advertisement for Ashley Madison, Life is Short, Having an Affair. I was like, that sounds intriguing. Life is short. They're right. They have that right. So maybe they have an affair right too. I wanted more of the good stuff that life had to give. So I signed up because it sounded like they had the answer.
Life is short.
Life is short,
Sam says.
You know
what? They're right about that first part. They must be right about the second part affair.
Yeah.
Sam doesn't think for a second. He doesn't stew on it. He doesn't say, life is short, have an affair. They might be right about it, but I have this family.
Okay. Yeah.
And Sam's telling of the story
yes.
right at 3:02. He's signing up to Ashley Madison with his real information, which obviously was a really stupid decision, says Sam.
He's like, my real age, my real birthday. He put pictures on there with his shirt off, sexy pictures on there.
The whole thing about the profile is that you can find someone exactly what you're looking for, right?
Yes.
So you're putting really, really personal things in there.
Yes.
You're putting your sexual fantasies, you're putting your sexual preferences, what type of sex you're looking for, what type of dynamic you're looking for. Things that maybe, if you're a guy like Sam, your wife doesn't even know your sexual preferences and what excites you.
Yeah.
If it's not the kind of boring, basic life that they love, they're happy with it.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
So if he's into something else, he's putting it on this website and he's not telling his wife.
Well, everyone is the journalist is saying to us, we weren't even thinking about cybersecurity at all in 2003 or whatever year this was. Right? And you're just putting this in. It's on no one's radar. Maybe we'll get hacked. And Sam says, I had no problem giving all my personal information to the site because the site would and they show us about how, quote, protected the site was. And we just see these pictures of these little locks. And it's got a little badge saying that this site is secure.
It's on Canva. Essentially, they just got they Googled cartoon lock.
Yes. But what's really happening is Sam is horny and he doesn't care. And like when you're horny like that, all of the concerns about what could be, that's tomorrow's problem.
Well,
right now, you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
And the website is horny for his money.
Yes.
Because they are promising
everything
was 100% discreet. That is the point of this website.
Yes.
You don't want to blow up your life. Don't worry about it. Come to us. This is a safe space.
Yep.
The person that you're going to meet also doesn't want to blow up your life. This is the only way to do this.
Exactly.
You still want to go home to your kids and your wife or your husband or whoever you have. So does that other person.
Yep.
Let us help you.
You know what, though?
Do like, something in a discreet way.
If it wasn't just like three idiot men running this company and they actually did give a shit about cybersecurity, that probably is exactly what would have happened. You know what I mean?
So by 2010, they have 7 million members.
Yeah.
And Evan Sunglasses, that's just how I'm calling it. Did we get meet a lot of people
I
here?
Love it.
I need a...
Yeah.
So Evan
we'll
says...
have a new moniker for him by the end of this episode.
Totally. So Sunglasses is like, yeah. So the thing about that, everything we did was run by all men, especially our marketing team.
Yes.
So our marketing was definitely not respectful towards women or even catering to them in any way. It was just for the male gaze.
All of the ads were just like people having sex. And I just kept thinking if they had one woman in there, because I kept being like, are they really attracting women to the site? But I was like, I don't know that women would want to do this. And I'm like, so for the men, you do the sex ads. But for the women, like an affair to a woman is like a fancy dinner and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Give us that ad to attract the women. Like the derpy husband on the phone, you know, like not paying attention to you, cut away to like you're in a beautiful dress at a fancy restaurant and
right.
this man's like looking into your eyes.
And they tried
and
to do that.
And I'm not saying that's, like, of course I think women want sex too, but like I'm just saying that would be appealing to women and to me.
Yeah, they, you know? Right. Well, they tried to do it with an ad where it's like people having super hot like Skinamax porn sex, but in the middle of the day.
Right.
And the commercial was like, these two people are married.
And, they're
and
like,
then
oh,
beat, just
not
to
each other.
And I'm like, I get that.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that sort of speaks to everyone, even though it is a very male gaze version of sex with like the canopy bed and all this stupid.
It's ridiculous.
Get that thing away from me.
I know.
I don't need more fabric.
I know. I'm trying to do
loose
fabric up in here.
Like,
I know.
So yeah, it was a very, like, it was some guy saw some really hot Skinamax thing in the 90s, like the Red Shoe Diaries or whatever.
Oh my God.
And then was like, let's make a commercial like that.
Well, what happens is that it becomes like impossible for them to get their ads on regular mainstream TV. So Noel, the CEO, becomes the face of Ashley Madison, and he's going on any TV show that'll have them to talk about like what this really is.
I read that you actually think that this is a marriage saver. How so?
It's a preservation device for so many people who are in a marriage who say, no, they love their partners. No, love and sex are different things.
Marriage is preserved through infidelity. You may not believe it, but so many people.
No.
Of course, you're wrong.
It's just really honestly, do you believe that rubbish?
But there's no proof that somehow romantic love should be exclusionary that way. You wouldn't tell me, I have two children, I can only love one of them. That would be a ridiculous notion, but somehow I can only love one woman.
You know what else would make your marriage better? A conversation.
Just a
little
bit of a
conversation. About how you're not happy.
You know?
You know what I mean?
Well, we're back with Rob, who is on this website, and he's, you know, complaining about his wife and his life. Everything's so boring after 6 years. He hates his wife. He hates his kid. He admits that he wasn't having valuable conversations with his wife.
Yeah.
He admits that he wasn't really interested in her. So Ashley Madison was his solution. So he's like, I guess I'll just go through the motions at home, but I'll have this sort of secret life with Ashley Madison.
Yeah, he's thinking like, if I can go have hot sex with like random hot women, then I can come home and like be a family man.
And
or
also
whatever.
Like, when, again, when you're in a situation that breeds deceit, you also like, you have a kid.
And
like, come
also,
on.
Like, if you're not having like an exciting sex life with your partner, going and having sex with other people is not going to fix that. So
exactly.
That problem is not going to get better. You can fix a boring sex
you
life.
You still have to go home to the life you hate, Rob.
And now you go from sometimes having boring sex with your wife to never ever having sex with your wife.
Right. Like, but that's also going to breed things that inside of you that you don't even know. Resentment to her. Well, why can't you be like this date I just had? Also, you're ignoring your kid because you're lying that you can't be home because you're on dates. Like,
right.
What are you doing?
And you're like, you're putting your attention. These dates don't just happen, I'm assuming.
Right.
I bet it takes a while to find a woman who wants to have sex with you.
Right.
And then like setting all that, like a major part of your attention is now focused on this website.
And I hope you're being safe and protecting yourself if you're having sex with multiple people and then going home and maybe still having sex with your wife. Like, are you using condoms? Like, what is happening here?
Right.
Like, the communication part of it is also like, just to be like logical, you gotta have rules with your person.
Totally.
Which we'll get to in a
minute.
And
also, like, if you are gonna do this and have an open marriage, then she gets to go out and have the exciting
100%.
Sex that she wants to have too. And you're robbing your spouse of the opportunity to do what you're doing.
And if you don't want that, then get out of the business.
Get out.
You're in the wrong business. You know, if you don't want to have an open conversation with your person about what you can do and what they can do, then you are doing this for the wrong reason. You're doing this
more.
To fuck around.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
100%.
So Rob describes his first Ashley Madison affair.
Yeah.
They emailed. they were super into each other.
He's like, she's too hot for me. I don't know how this happened.
I can't believe it. Yeah. They very smartly meet outside at a park.
Yes.
The physical attraction is there. They start making out. They kind of look and like, are we going to get this room? Yes, they do. But I love that they met in a public place first.
Yes.
And so we'll get back to Rob in a minute.
Because Nancy Grace is here talking about Satan.
Is she ever? When is she not? Because Ashley Madison is getting all this free press. So like maybe they couldn't air during the Super Bowl or during CSI
but
or whatever.
Sean Hannity is talking about them for 45 minutes. And I've got to tell you, Sean Hannity's audience is exactly who wants Ashley Madison.
100%.
So Sean Hannity,
they want
you
the gay Ashley Madison.
Exactly. Oh my God. Have you
Didn't
heard about
Grindr the crashed during the RNC?
In Milwaukee or wherever
so
it was. Grindr crashed
Come on,
at the RNC. It
girl.
Makes me laugh. And it happens every time. Every single time.
Be honest with yourself and your people.
But like Sean Hannity is virtue signaling about how awful it is. Meanwhile, like the numbers are through the roof. The more bad press Ashley Madison got, the higher their numbers went.
And I'm also like, I'm not defending the Sean Hannitys and Nancy Grace's, but it was everyone. It was the Today Show. It was like everyone is talking about this website, which is giving them exactly what they want.
Yeah.
So we meet Amit, and he's the former director of product.
Yeah.
And he's like, here's the thing, like secrecy and discretion, again, were central to the brand. It's not just life is short, have an affair. Have an affair like safely where no one will ever find out and you'll be protected. And that sort of gave people a lot of freedom, they thought.
Yeah, but also there's a back end because the affair, like you can only do this if you're paying for a service.
Via credit card.
So we meet Kathy, the customer service rep, and I went, yikes.
She worked there for a grueling 4.5 years.
Yeah, and she's like, I believe in monogamy, but I don't judge people who don't.
No,
you know?
Whatever.
But like, we also just don't condone lying. You know what I mean?
It's the lying. But speaking of,
because
Kathy is customer service, and the wives.
Oh my God.
Because I guess they would see the name or they'd see like the gibberish on the credit card.
If you have like a joint credit card account with your husband, but it's like his name on the card, of course, like if the wife is the one who does the bills in your family, she's going through and she's like, what's this $19 charge?
But also, I don't understand how they're getting a phone call because it would not be Ashley Madison. And the minute she Googles Ashley Madison, the website comes up.
Well, I don't know how any of this works, but somehow Ashley Madison is operating as like a third party billing, there has to be a number for people to call.
I guess so, yeah.
And there is because it's happening.
I had a lot of wives calling. They would say, I have this $19 charge on my card. I don't recognize it. We would just tell them, you know, it's not your name on the card. Unfortunately, we're unable to assist you. So a lot would call back with their husbands.
Agents would say, well, we are a generalized billing company and we bill across many different web properties, which was true, but we will reverse the charge so you don't have to worry about it.
Sometimes the wives would call back with the husband.
And now we're getting a little accusatory, I think.
Yes, yes. So then the Ashley Madison team would say like, oh, we're a third-party billing. We oversee lots of different, you know, things that this could be connected to. We don't really know which one it is. But you know what? We'll charge it back. No worries. Don't worry about it. And then the husband just goes and signs up with this secret credit card.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So back with Sam and Nia, right? They got married super young. Sam loves love, but he's an asshole. So Nia is sitting here to camera telling us like when she met Sam, when they got married, Sam was amazing. He was everything to her. And everything, like, he ticked everything on her list. And the number one thing on her list was fidelity.
Yes.
And she's like, I see a guy like Sam. He's a Christian. He also wasn't a party guy.
Yep.
She's like, he was a good guy. And in Nia's mind, there's no way in hell, literally, that Sam would cheat on her. That was their thing.
And then it immediately cuts to Sam, who's like,
I hid the app on my phone. I would hide it within a folder and just, like, dump a lot of other things in there. So if she was actually looking for anything, she wouldn't click on that folder. It'd be just full of junk. I paid for Elite membership to give me more features such as messaging, maybe multiple winks, you know, because Ashley Madison had that function where you go wink at each other. And I think maybe they also said your messages to the women would be prioritized over other men's messages. My stupid screen name was Dirty Little Secret Man.
So, meanwhile, Sam is on Ashley Madison.
He's paying for Elite membership.
An Elite membership.
Oh my God.
Which means when you have an Elite membership, you get more credits for your money.
Yes.
And his messages to women would be prioritized in their inbox.
That is the fact that
so
you can
do that. It's like a verified account.
But also, like, if Jillian is getting 40 messages, Sam's is going to the top.
Sam's is going to the top.
Yeah.
Or Sam and whoever paid, you get it first.
Wild.
Right?
Wild.
Did you notice Sam's stupid fucking screen name?
Dirty Little Secret Man.
With
the underscores.
Men are such idiots. How is that so? Post to entice a woman.
I know.
Dirty
I know.
Little secret man.
I know. But you're on a site where the woman also has a dirty little secret. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the hot part of the whole thing.
Uh-huh. I just see little man in that. Dirty little secret man.
You're right. The little man stands out.
It makes you sound like a childish, immature nightmare that I'm trying to get away from.
Yeah.
Like, that is a name. Men are idiots. There's nothing about that that's enticing to anybody.
No.
No one is like, ooh, dirty little secret man.
Man does make it sound like you.
Agent man. It sounds like, it's weird.
It does sound like you're looking at gross things in the basement with like that single light bulb.
It's
you know?
When Michael Scott signs up and he's like, I put little kid lover as my name. So everyone knows I'm a family man who wants kids. It's like that. It's like, it's not doing what you think it's Sam.
That's exactly right.
And Sam also, like, he makes me so mad because he says, and he thinks this is making it better, but it's not.
Uh-huh.
Because he says, I wasn't even out for sex at first.
Right.
Like, I would see these really sexy photos and scroll right by them. I wasn't horny. My wife was satisfying me. I didn't even know what I wanted. I just wanted attention. Sam, like, that makes it a million times worse.
I know.
Just say that it was a physical compulsion and it didn't mean anything.
You and I were talking about this off mic before we started. I actually really don't think, and I have only seen episode one. I don't know that I think that it was about sex for Sam. I think that he was absolutely has a desperate need for validation.
He just wants to find more and more women who's going to be like, you're so great,
you're
Sam.
You're so hot.
And
you're
also
so sweet.
Just doing what Nia is already doing.
Yes, yes.
Like,
but Sam has a hole in his soul.
He'll never be satisfied.
No.
Nia, run.
There's something wrong with him. He will truly, truly never be satisfied. He will cheat on whoever he's with.
It's never going to be enough.
You know what? But like, there is help, Sam. There is help. You can recognize this about yourself and go get... And fam, the reason I'm saying this so emphatically is because something crazy happens in a few minutes.
But the fact that he's even lying to us now and lying to himself, being like, I didn't know what I wanted. You knew exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
You think this is making it better, but it's not.
Right.
And it's hurtful to Nia.
It would actually be better if you were just horny and you wanted
sex. That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Just saying it was like, I was, you know, we have the kids and I just needed a release, whatever, some stupid bullshit line, whatever.
Yes.
But to be like, no, I was super sexually satisfied and I don't know. I wanted the attention, girl. Oh my God. Because the thing that is so insane about that is that Nia, because he has a guilty conscience.
Yes.
A little bit. She senses distance.
Like I was saying before, this takes up a lot of your energy. So in all of his downtime at work where he used to be texting his wife.
Or being an ER nurse and saving lives, hopefully.
But I mean, when he has downtime, I'm sure he would call her, he would text her, he would send pictures. And now he's spending all of that free time on the website. So all she knows is he stopped communicating with
her. He's distant.
So Nia is saying, I'm waking up early, making him breakfast, I'm having his clothes ready, I'm being the perfect wife.
She's laying his clothes out for him. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
He's an ER nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scrubs?
Yeah.
It's not like he's picking out an outfit.
No.
But this is what she's doing. She's going above and beyond. She's waking up extra early for him because he worked the overnight shift.
Yes.
So she'd be up at 4 a.m. making him a lovely breakfast for him to come home
and
to.
And she said, I wanted to be the perfect wife. I wanted him to feel lucky, not as a reflection of me. I just loved him.
Yeah.
She just wants him to feel like the love that she feels for him. You know?
And like on paper and to a lot of people, Nia is doing, you know, like if you were to ask Sam pre-marriage, pre-Ashley Madison, Nia's doing everything right for him.
And I want to say, it might make you a monster, Sam, but like if you wake up one day and you're like, I created this life for myself and I'm super fucking unhappy, you are allowed to leave. You have to be a parent to your kid.
You have to co-parent.
You
no
are allowed to leave. You are allowed to say, I really fucked up, Nia. I'm so fucking sorry. I'm a broken person. This is not the life I want. I'm going to move out and work on myself. You are allowed to do that, but that requires being honest and communicating.
But he doesn't want that. What he wants is the perfect photos and the picture and everyone saying what a great life. And he wants the breakfast at 4 a.m. He wants the clothes laid out for him.
Yep.
This is the life he wants. He just doesn't want the hard parts of it.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, there are people...
And he just wants to fuck around.
I know. And the people who don't want the hard part, like you really can grow into it. You really can say, I'm a kid. I'm not ready for this kind of responsibility. I never had a dad to teach me some of the things I think a dad should teach me or whatever. And I'm scared and this is scary. And then you stick around and you stick it out and you learn to love your life. The other thing I wanted to say about him just needing the attention, that beautiful story about him sobbing at their wedding. Well, as soon as I got to this part, I was like, oh, he was crying. He was sobbing at the wedding to make people look at him instead of her.
100%.
To take the eyes off of his wife and put them on him.
And I think because he knows he's not a good guy, what a good guy.
Uh-huh.
Look at him.
Uh-huh.
He loves her so much. Yeah. It's all an act.
Yeah.
And I think what we're also not talking about is the very conservative religious upbringing that they both had.
Yes.
Because they were married incredibly young. 20 years old, I think, is too young to be married. And 24. And they just didn't, like, you could say, get married at 20 and 24. Don't have kids for another 6 years.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have that.
Right.
So I think Nia was doing what she was brought up to do.
Yeah.
And I think now we're talking in a, I mean, Sam absolutely shouldn't have made these, but I'm saying, like, I think the reason the train left the station and was off the rails so fast is because that's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, totally.
And so he wants that life and what it looks like. And he's that great guy who cried at the wedding. Remember how he cried at the wedding?
Yeah, oh my God. He sobbed.
Because he knows.
Yeah.
He knows that he can't really do it.
Right.
So, you know, clearly the site needs women for it to work.
Yes.
So the way.
And this was my big question the whole time. Like, are they actually getting, is it like 8 billion men and 25 women, you know?
I mean, yes and no. We'll get into it. But women right now in this episode, women join for free.
Yes.
And men.
And can use all of the features of the site for free.
We're not paying for the elite membership.
It's ladies' night every night.
Every night, right? The men had to pay because obviously if the women weren't there, the men wouldn't pay. And also, this is a very heteronormative website.
I mean, it makes me crazy from the beginning. Not that I want this open to gays or whatever, but like.
And it's also, I mean, the gays have Grindr. They have everything. You guys have everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, but the point, like what they're saying is.
It's just so funny because I was talking to Steve about it. I know so many gay men in relationships who are all in open relationships.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And it's like the Grindr is for them minus the lying.
Can you say on Grindr? I've never been on Grindr. I've seen my friends like, ooh, I got a or whatever, but I've never like explored the website. Can you say I'm married and I'm in an open relationship? Right?
I think so. Yeah.
That you can kind of say that you can sort of hack your own Ashley Madison situation where it's like, I'm married. I'm looking for another married person.
I have definitely have friends who are on Grindr and it says like open relationship or whatever. Like, what is going through my mind, this whole like new thing of like all these gay men being in these open relationships, like that's what everyone is talking about in pop culture right now.
It's not new.
Well, it's new to me. I guess I'm just like learning how many of my friends are in these open relationships.
Okay.
And I'm like, it just cuts out the lying. You know what I mean?
I agree.
It cuts out the lying. The communication is good, you know?
The lying's the worst part. Because I think if you're lying, you don't want the openness, you know? Like,
right.
And I know that sounds like so simple, but what I'm saying is like, if Sam didn't want to be open with Nia. He didn't want it. He loved what it looked like and the little package and the bow that it was in.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the openness because we will talk to people like Stephanie who did.
It was hard to just be with just one person. And even though I'm like going, okay, I love this person, you know, I'm not going to cheat on him. But then I cheat on him, you know, and then I say, okay, I'm not going to cheat on this one. And then I cheat on him and I'm like, fuck, you know, am I a serial cheater? But everyone I've ever been with knows I'm a sexual person.
Stephanie loves having sex.
And she calls herself a serial cheater because she's like, I didn't want to cheat, but I always ended up cheating and I felt bad. And I'm like, Stephanie, girl, I'm saying this with love. You're just not a monogamist.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yes.
But to sort of like, now that you know that, like you were a serial cheater, but I think you just are the person that we were just talking about. Just be open about the person. Like, you could be on a first date and be like, it's never going to be just me and you. So remember Stephanie. We'll get back to Stephanie.
Yeah, put a pin in Stephanie. She's also telling us all about her sex life while she's baking cookies. I'm obsessed with her.
She's like, everyone deserves to be sexually and mentally fulfilled. Yes, agree, Steph.
Yes, yes.
Can I call you Steph? Stephanie? Please. I'm going to stick with Stephanie.
She's also wearing a rainbow bracelet. I don't know.
I love her.
I noticed it. So by 2012, the site has 15 million members in the U.S. But they say when we launched in other countries, it went crazy.
Did you catch the tagline for India?
Oh my God. They say they launched in 35 countries in 50 languages. In India, there's a billboard that reads, your parents arranged your marriage. Let us help with your affair.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God.
And they say people were fucking outraged. And I mean absolutely no disrespect to the Indian culture for repeating the thing that was said in the documentary. But it's like, the point is they don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck.
They
knew what worked in America. So now that they're going international, this is going to get them on the news.
I mean, that's
all they want.
Right,
they want to offend people.
That's the India version of life is short, have an affair.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So they just wanted any attention the way they can get it.
Exactly.
They wanted to be talked about. They wanted to be
offensive. They're provocative.
That's it.
I mean, they're a website built to help you cheat on your spouse. You know what I mean?
Discreetly, or so we thought.
Yeah.
So by 2015, they had 37 million users.
And the revenue is going crazy. They are doubling their revenue every month.
But we're learning, though, that they're caring more about the growth and all that security that they're bragging about, actually bragging about, is kind of falling to the back burner.
Yeah.
Security was something that came up quite frequently, but it just kept falling to the back burner because it was understood that we could make this work while keeping up with our growth plans. That is what everyone was focused on every single day. I think it was very well understood that if any of the web properties were hacked, it would have been almost catastrophic. The hope was that it wouldn't happen.
But they were just fingers crossed that no one's going to do it.
But how did you not see this coming? The site was inflammatory on purpose.
Exactly.
You didn't think that maybe someone would want to get revenge,
you know,
or teach a lesson of some kind, even on that level?
By 2015, like, we knew about cybersecurity. We knew about hacks. You don't have the excuse of, like, it had never happened to anyone, so right. It could have happened to anyone.
Or even something, not even a major hack, something as small as someone's friend got into their account or something.
Yeah.
People are paying for the security you're promising them.
Yes.
Even again, on a basic business level.
And like Evan, Glasses is back to say, the promise of security and anonymity, that was just something we said. We never did it. We were gambling with people's lives.
And they really were, because
yeah.
This becomes a fucking mess bigger than anyone thought. It's not just like, oh, your wife's going to get mad. It
yes.
becomes much, 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 much bigger than that.
And it's also like, now we learn that Noel, the CEO, the one who's like going on every show saying like, have an affair, let me help you. He's married and is, quote, in a monogamous marriage.
This poor, he's dragging
his
this
wife,
poor woman on The View and all these morning shows.
I mean,
shows.
Like, he brings her out in front of Elizabeth Hasselbeck. The fact that I had to deal with Elizabeth Hasselbeck today isn't fun. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is screaming at this woman, and the woman is saying, like, we're monogamous and we're just facilitating a service.
And what she's saying is, like, our relationship is amazing and perfect,
yeah.
and it's puppies and rainbows. And I'm like, well, the more you say it, the less it is.
Of course.
Obviously, we know
of
that.
Of course.
But what she's saying is, like, you know, almost like with pity, like, we have this amazing relationship. Not everybody does.
Yeah.
So for the people who aren't like us,
right.
go to our website.
And
it's like, that's a really dangerous thing to put on
so
the View.
It's so fucked. And she's saying, like, if he did this to me, I'd be devastated.
But I wouldn't blame a website.
Tell me we're going to learn that he's on there. Tell me we're going to learn.
We're going to learn a lot of things.
Okay.
About a lot. We're going to learn a lot about a lot. So this is where we learn also, though, speaking of something we learned in this episode,
yeah.
Evan Sunglasses
yes.
is gay and has been married to a man for 23 years.
Because we hear the producer say to him, what would you do if your husband cheated on you? And I like gasped in my seat.
Yeah.
I did not see this coming.
I didn't either.
23 years monogamous.
And he makes a point to say that. And he's
yeah.
like, I have to tell you, I would be shocked
yes.
if that happened. But he goes on to say the cheater isn't the only one to blame.
Yeah.
He says either the cheater is a narcissistic sociopath and it's who they are and there's nothing to be done, or something is broken in your union.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right. But if you feel like something's broken, you can also start the conversation about it. For example,
yep.
Sam and Nia. Nia doesn't know that things are broken.
Right.
So if something's broken, you can't blame Nia
exactly.
for Sam when Sam isn't saying to her, I'm having a problem here.
Right. And
what
it's
is
like,
Nia supposed to do? She's laying out his fucking clothes for him like he's a four-year-old.
Is there a world in which Nia would say, if they have the conversation, sure, go out and have sex with other people? Absolutely not.
No.
But that's where Sam, you gotta be the grown-up and make the decision.
Like,
you know,
have
what I
the
mean?
Conversation.
Yes, yes.
And I'm sure that, like, no one is perfect, but based on what we've been told, I'm just saying, like, what is Nia supposed to do?
Nothing.
Like, he is not communicating
right.
with her. He's lying to her. He's hiding this app in his folders, and she is noticing distance and going above and beyond
yep.
to show this fucking man-child that he's loved and she cares about him and that his clothes are laid out and the 4 a.m. breakfast is here, doing everything. What is she supposed to do?
Well, and I'm very curious to learn what's going to happen when she finds out, because we keep saying about Sam, it's like he just wants it all. He wants all of the things that she's doing for him.
And he wants to fuck around.
And he wants to fuck around. And you know what I mean? It's just wild that he's here
right.
in this documentary.
Like, I
you
know.
Need it because he has absolutely no self-awareness. He thinks that by doing the documentary, it's his apology to her, but it's not.
I mean, he's not even being honest with us now.
Right.
But the polar opposite of that.
Yes.
So remember Rob from the beginning, who was like, I don't even talk to my wife. I hate my wife. I hate my
kids. The guy in San Diego. Yeah.
Yeah. Who told us a story about, like, he met this woman on the park bench and
yes.
they hooked up on Ashley Madison. Rob is married to awesome Stephanie, who's like, I can't help but cheat. Like, she's not a monogamous. Whatever.
Right. And we just learned that now, because what I'm screaming the whole time is like, what about an open marriage? Somebody should try an open marriage.
Right.
And so we learn that Rob is married to Stephanie. It was a jaw-dropping moment for me.
Jaw-dropping.
That they're in an open marriage. And there's all kinds of rules.
We have two rules. Number one, she always knows where I'm at, who I'm with, so I'm not hiding anything. I basically get permission before I go. And the second rule is I wear a condom, which is, I think, pretty obvious.
If I'm not in the mood, then it's a no. And he's never thrown a fit or anything. He's just like, okay, it's a no. You know, when he tells him, my wife said no.
But also, Stephanie can veto.
And then it's no questions asked.
Yeah, my wife said no, sorry, I can't do it.
And she rarely does, but sometimes she does, yeah. And everyone is cool with that. They seem to have, honestly, like a great, open, fulfilling
yes.
relationship. They seem to be great parents. They're great spouses to each other. There's no lying.
And he says, like, I don't want to replace Stephanie. I just want to, like, play with other women. Like, why would I try to replace her? Like, I'd be a fool. There's no other woman like her.
And Stephanie's a dominatrix.
Yeah.
So, like, they're both, like, and like, admittedly, this is very rare, but I'm thrilled they found each other.
Well, but the thing is it that rare? Like, my thing is, I'm sure that an open marriage is not for everybody. But if you're at a point in your marriage where I'm either going to cheat on you and lie, but I don't not love you and I don't want to leave you, maybe at least have the conversation
and
see what happens.
I'm not saying it should be. I'm saying...
No, I know.
On this level of, like, the dominatrix and the guy who's sleeping with other women in their bed that she just met and can say no. Like, the way they're doing it, maybe is it the healthiest way? Sure. But is it the way that's happening the most? I would
say
no.
Just, like,
to
me,
rare.
It's like a no-brainer. Like, at least try this. And I guess it's easier for me to think of, like, my gay friends who are in relationships and don't have kids. Like, it's much less complicated.
Exactly.
You know? But it's just, like, I was so glad that we got to an open marriage at the end of this episode because I was like, somebody
screaming
should try it.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Obvious, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, back to Sam, who is basically like, I needed attention and validation from women.
Yes.
And I couldn't get it at home from my wife who's doting on me and being, like, basically, like,
or like
serving him hand and foot.
He got it from her and he was full up on that. The attention from her wasn't going to do it for him
anymore. Because it's never gonna.
Exactly.
It's never gonna.
Yeah.
So he's like, I just wanted attention, more than the attention I was getting at home. And it's like, Sam, just have to be honest with yourself and us. You just want to fuck around.
Yes.
Like, you just want, and
but
you wanted
I do
that
think
attention.
The attention is a major part
100%.
Of it.
100%. Yeah. But I feel like he's making it into something that it's not, which is making this 100% worse.
Well, but we get this story where Sam and Nia are driving the car, like that Frozen movie came out, the soundtrack came
that
out.
Frozen, have you heard of it? That Frozen movie?
Oh my God.
That was just the biggest thing for, that, you when, know, that, for when Frozen came out, that was the biggest thing for, I mean, like 2 years.
Yes,
it was major.
Yep, I agree. And Daisy was not really a let it go kid. She was a love is an open door kid.
Okay.
So
well, here we go.
Here we go. So it's Kristen Bell and Santino Fontana. Like, they're so good. The song is really so freaking cute. And Daisy and Steve would sing it in the car all the time.
Well,
it's amazing. So Sam has this idea because he, like, wants to go viral. He pays attention to YouTube. He wants to be famous in any way he possibly can be.
And people were getting famous and viral by singing and making Frozen videos.
Exactly.
So Sam and Nia try it and it works.
So they decide they're going to sing Love is an Open Door. And if you don't know it, pause and go listen to the song because it's so goddamn cute.
Did you happen to see what they named the video?
No.
Again, they're doing this to get viral.
Yeah.
And this is a very, like, we've talked about this YouTube thing before where it's like the mom life or the trad life or like the religious family that's like vlogging about their kids and sort of like monetizing their kids and their family life. Like, that's what they want to be.
The fact that the daughter was sitting in the backseat while they're filming this, just being quiet, I was like, oh my God.
But again, like,
we have different children.
But it's also like all about them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So it's very much like monetizing your kids for clout and content. Which, you know, we all know how I feel about it. But the video they posted, the title of the video is Good Looking Parents Sing Disney's Frozen, Love is an Open Door, Sam and Nia.
No!
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
I took the screenshot of it.
They are good looking parents.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What they're, it's not just like family
it's
does
like
this.
It's sexualizing this like thing they're doing with their kid.
Good looking family.
Oh,
good looking
no.
couple. Good looking parents. Which is really leaning into this like the heteronormative white like monetizing your family for content.
Yes.
Thing.
Well, and but the thing is, it happens. It goes super viral. They get millions and millions and millions of views. And Sam instantly loses his interest in Ashley Madison.
All he can talk about is the attention he got from women because of this.
Yes.
And again, though, the attention is about, isn't he such a great father?
Yes.
Isn't he such a great husband? It's why he's crying at the wedding.
Yes.
It's a very specific part of his ego that's being stroked by these women.
Because
he knows he's a bad father and a bad husband.
He's broken. He needs to feel loved and adored and paid attention.
For a very specific way.
And sexy. He needs to feel attractive. And
he says it's like winning the lottery.
I just thought that it was so interesting that like he had no need for sex anymore because this was now the thing that was like filling that bucket.
They just become a family vlog.
Yes.
So this like viral video was the catalyst for this very, 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 cannot stress enough, very, we'll get into it next week, very successful YouTube channel that they had.
Oh my God, really? I didn't know that.
So Sam is getting the attention he craves.
Yeah.
My life is exciting again.
Uh-huh,
he says, fuck you, Sam.
Oh my God.
And because of this, just like you said, he deletes Ashley Madison because he has this attention from women online
Because
he is like pretending to be the this perfect husband and father that his own wife thinks he is.
Yes.
And that's what he wants the attention for. So I do, I guess I'm backtracking a little, kind of take it back where he's like, I didn't need the slutty, sexy, hot photos.
Yeah.
He wanted to be like, you're so good at this. You're such a good provider.
It doesn't matter what the compliments are. He just needs the attention. He just needs the compliments.
And I think it's specifically about like, you're such a family man. Like,
yes.
That's what he wants.
Totally.
Because going viral with his family.
Well, because he was told all of his life as a young Christian, like, that's what the ideal is.
Right.
So if people see you as that, then you did it.
And so Sam might have deleted Ashley Madison, but as we know, nothing's really deleted.
No, did Ashley Madison delete him? I don't think so.
I don't think so. And this episode ends with the fact that Ashley Madison has been hacked.
Yes.
And the next episode is appropriately titled, We Got Hacked! Exclamation point. So, I mean, really, really think about the repercussions of a hack of Ashley Madison.
I'm dying to find
out. It is so much more than just like you got caught by a person. It's think about how big that could
be. Yes, yes.
It's a life ruiner.
It's funny because it is so straight, I didn't pay that much attention to it.
It
you know what I mean?
Beyond straight.
It's so straight. And like there is
too
no
straight.
But that's what I'm saying. Like
aggressively straight.
You're gonna go into 35 countries. Like you guys could have done Grindr first. Do you know how much money Grindr makes?
Mm-hmm. When did Grindr start? Do we know?
I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or whatever, but like maybe less than that. But it is everywhere now. It's all over the world.
Yeah.
It's just very, very, very straight.
I don't know why you but also like these are the guys that are gonna pay for it.
Yeah.
Pay for the credits.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
I think there's a certain type.
I guess that's true.
And they're like mostly the straighties.
It's too easy for the gays.
You know?
Oh, fam, thanks for checking out episode 1 of the Ashley Madison thing.
And it just gets crazier.
I know. What are their names? Sam and what?
Whatever.
Sam the dude is the worst.
He's the worst. And he just gets worse. And like she's that they end up being like racist and homophobic too.
Yes,
there's like
yes.
a lot to unpack.
This guy Sam is like such a bad dude. And like I was like at one point standing up.
It was really bad.
Put my mic in the standing position because I was screaming
it
about
was bad.
Sam. It was so bad.
Bad news.
So the other two episodes are available right now and ad free over on the Patreon with like over 400 full ad free bonus episodes of everything else.
Yeah.
You get it all the second you sign up. You can also do the after party tier where we've been doing cases that we haven't gotten to yet on the regular
we
feed.
Do, like catch-ups, we do AMAs, we're just hanging out. It's a party.
Yeah, there's also the Hero Belt here where we make specific episodes just for them.
Yeah.
We cover old unsolved mysteries cases.
Yes.
Sometimes we do the Am I the Asshole thing from Reddit, and we just like decide if they're the asshole or not.
Yeah, but like a creative writing exercise.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and it's December. They're getting the annual calendar.
Oh, of course.
This month, because we send stuff to them in the mail as well.
Depending on your tier, yes.
Yeah, so if you sign up for the Hero Belt tier in the month of December, you're going to get the calendar.
Okay, great.
You're getting it.
Oh, you're getting it.
So it's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed. Go check it out.
Yeah.
We love you.
I was going to say you can ungird your loins now, but just keep them girded.
Keep them girded.
Just like for safety.
You know what? Life is short. Don't have an affair.
Yeah. Life is short. Gird your loins.
Life
is fucking insane. Gird them up.
Gird them up.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.